Speaking of the law on speaking, the halachas of speech and speech on Shabbos.
Speech on Shabbos?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, spirit of the law, speech on Shabbos. Okay.
It says regarding Shabbos, you will honor it from doing your ways, finding your desires, and speaking speech. Our sages explained this means your words on Shabbos should not be like how you speak during the day. Not only should you not discuss the person who, you know, say, hey, would you do me a favor? You know, I need a job done tomorrow, Sunday. Can you get your store at 6 o'clock in the morning? That's not a great, that's not permitted. That's clear enough. Because when you say this, your friend now, you got something for the weekday on Shabbos. Even if you're talking about something that's not really helping, you're just saying, well, tomorrow I'm going to drive to Manhattan, tomorrow I'm going to get on a plane, all these things, and I'll be on Shabbos. You're not supposed to talk about on Shabbos.
Okay, how about women from left field?
How about
women talking about recipes?
Recipe is a good question. So it's like this. If it involves cooking on Shabbos, generally speaking, it's not a good idea. The only exception, and this exception is such a big difference that would be good. The exception is a big difference that maybe almost always the way it comes up, it's relevant, is if it's for a mitzvah. For example, if she wants to prepare a better Shabbos next week, she's like, wow, this kugel is out in this world. How do you make it? It could be it's permitted because it's for a mitzvah. So it's not so...
Right,
for
exactly.
Cooking
that's
is actually the exception. But very often, though, a person just like, you know, if it's not for Shabbos, it's not for a mitzvah, it's not okay. And if you can really ask after Shabbos, it's just as easy. So why not ask after Shabbos? It's better, for sure. But you can't, I wouldn't protest. I wouldn't say, you're telling me, come on, Shabbos, because it's for Shabbos, it's for next Shabbos. Next Shabbos, a mitzvah.
It's like when they pass around a salad or a kugel or a cholent, and they're trying to guess what the spices are.
That's okay, as long as it's not in terms of changing something. I'm not going to learn now how to make a cholent or kugel, or if I am, it's for Shabbos, so that's also okay. I'm not going to change now. I'm not a caterer saying, well, tomorrow I'd love to... I have to get my, you know, this is great for my restaurant. Tell me, that's not okay, for sure. And it's better to leave it if you can. Nevertheless, it's not permitted. Could you say something you're not allowed to do on Shabbos? Even if it's not the Torah prohibition, it's only a rabbinic prohibition. You're still not allowed to talk about it. So, if you're...
What prohibition?
A rabbinic. You're not allowed to talk about it tomorrow. Now, again, when he's talking about it, it's the Vasek of a mitzvah. He'll probably tell us that himself. Yeah, this is the Cheshbon. We'll get to him. He's going to tell us everything himself. And since there's no intercession, we probably will get to actually learn the whole thing this particular time, in the next week or something. So, God willing, it'll all work out. So everything's going to become clear. He says, now, if it's for a mitzvah, like he says, tomorrow I need to write, can you please write me a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah tomorrow? He said, some people, like, that's for heaven. Some say it's a problem. He said, but others say, that's only if you need the word to help, like, say, I'm going to write phone tomorrow. And they're like, what does that help? Nothing. So it didn't do anything. If you need to hire someone, tell someone, this is the time to do it, so then that's good. So it's proper to... It's proper, the Ben Shai says, to worry about those who prohibit. But Rav Avadya Yosef says, well, if it's the mitzvah and you're doing it in order to, like, get yourself going. He said, well, I must write that tefillin. I got to do that. It's for a mitzvah. He said, that's okay. Because it is helping you. And the presumably the bench time would agree, if it's helping you, then it's good. Presumably.
How about other people that talk, like, you know, they're outside a person's home and they're talking inappropriate?
Mm-hmm. What about them?
Is there anything you can do in that situation?
What do you mean besides tshuva, probably?
Besides what?
Tshuva. Besides tshuva.
You meant to rebuke somebody.
Oh,
how do you rebuke somebody in a friendly manner who's talking?
Very gently. I don't know, it's just people, you know, they're talking about maybe inappropriate, so you just say, hey, you know, the Kohen Gadol would tell you to wash your mouth.
Yeah. That's gentle. I had to do that once because I was on a bus and the teenagers were totally out of control. And I decided that I just said, gee, I wonder how many of them have been praised. Sometimes you need praise because they were so loud and appropriate. So I praised them. I said, I'm glad you guys are so involved with all these issues and trying to find out how you fit in. You know, oftentimes kids just sit in the back, you know, and quiet and like the little shells. And you never know what they're thinking. I said, you guys are really out there. You know, who could not know what you're thinking? I had a session with a man in the discussion with them. They thought it was really nice that somebody came and sat down with them.
I'm sure they did. Ramchal, this actually was a topic about this, because, you know, speech is a very tricky thing. On Shabbos, like with everything, we want to sanctify the next week. This is what I want to do. Shabbos sanctify next week. It includes speech, and that includes rebuke. Rebuke is a big... Our parasha Moshe starts out rebuking Jewish people. These are the words that goes on different places. He's talking about, oh, you did this, and you did that, and here you messed up this way, and this slip, and this slide. Every single word he said was some other place. So the question is, how does one review? So Michal says something very fascinating. So when a person does something wrong, the other side sort of grabs hold. And he's, in a certain way, given over to the hands of the other side. So to get out is very hard, because he feels weakened, and his strength's going to the other side, and you want to pull him out and weaken the other side, it's not so easy. It says that a prisoner can't remove himself from prison. So that means this person. And of course, it's hard. You can tshuva, you can do everything. It says tshuva can do anything, no matter what. So, but still, you have to work really, really hard. That's why Hashem said an easy thing. Someone who didn't do the sin should come and rebuke him. He said he's not really rebuking him. His real intention is to rebuke the other side that's holding him, the clique is holding him. So he doesn't really mean to, you're not supposed to be thinking of this guy. You're supposed to be thinking of the clique is holding on to him. And you pull him out of the hands of the other side, he doesn't mean it, he doesn't know. He said, the other side had grasps on us. So Moshe, he said, you're rebellious, you're this. All these words were just to pull us out of the other side. It was not really addressed to us. It wasn't us, it was the creepers around us. So if you just accepted the rebuke, so then you... If I just accept the rebuke, then what happens is everything gets fixed. That's the idea. So it's not always so easy to rebuke people the proper way. How do I rebuke someone in the way that he's going to be able to accept it? That also has a lot to do with how sanctified my words are. Where am I holding? You know, the Gemara tells us about these two people, and they would say, oh, you did, they knew someone was doing something wrong on the slide, let's say, or not on the slide, but people didn't know, and they'd walk ahead of him, and one of them told his friend, I can't believe you did so-and-so with the other guy did. as if it's coincidental. How could you? Don't you know that's very suitable? Oh, I didn't know. I'm so sorry. He never did it. But the person, the third person, is a witness. He doesn't feel embarrassed. He's like, whoa, like, so who are you telling him? I have to really change. So that was the way they sort of reached him. The third wheel, so you try to get it. You know, it's very not easy to have those strategies. How do you rebuke a person in a way that's going to change his patterns, is going to ignite his good points? The Benavent said that when a person does something bad, it's like you have a pile of excrement. You have to take the shovel and throw it away. He said, but if you just shovel it around, you just push it around a little, it's not going to improve the situation. It's going to make it much worse. It's going to smell horrible. You're not going to stand up near anything. It's the same thing. When you talk to someone about what they messed up, I have to do it in a way that's not going to stir up, make it worse. How do you, the person, how to do that? It's not really so easy. So the Chaim suggested, do not do it while the person's falling. Do it when they're in a good place. Not always easy to deal with or find a way to do it. This guy opened the first store in Hungary. I get past Budapest. I don't know what exactly. I don't understand Hungarian geography exactly. But he opened a store there. And there were no other stores open. Shabbos is a Jew. So he's cool to get open. So the people find it. They said, what to do, what to do. So a couple of boys, they said, we'll go and talk to him. But he was known to be a rough customer. He could beat somebody up. So when it came time after davening, so this time's other fellow, he was 16, he's new, so we're going to give this guy a little rebuke and try to wake him up. So, well, I can, I have to go here, I have to kid to everyone, he disappeared. So he went himself. So he went into the store, and here he is, a Jew doing business shop. So what does he do? He strolls in, smiling, beaming, puts his hand right on the guy's face, says, good Shabbos! And he shakes his hand, some nutcase, smiling, good Shabbos, walks out. Okay, some, you know, nuts, maybe he's not so well. 5 minutes later, again, he comes in beaming, good Shabbos. What's going on? The third time, he's getting annoyed. The fourth time, he's upset. Like, what is he going to do? Come in every customer. Some of the customers are Jewish, not Gishmar. It's not fun. You know, it's, you want to have an atmosphere that's conducive to business. This, like, strange stripling coming in, barging in, good Shabbos, and it's not such fun. He's ruining the atmosphere. He's poisoning the atmosphere here. So, he comes in another time, he doesn't take it, he says, listen, buddy, you keep coming back here, you're going to get hit. I'm telling you, I'm going to beat you up. You're not going to come in here anymore. This is my president, my premises, I don't allow you here. You're not allowed here. You come in, you're trespassing, I'm going to take the law to my own hands and deal with it. 5 minutes later, he comes back in good shots, he says, slow, wow, pop. He walks out, 5 minutes later, he comes again. Hits him again. Doesn't matter what he does, he starts to realize that this kid's going to keep coming in until he hits the hospital. Or worse. He says, what am I going to do, kill him? Like, what am I... So, alright, fine. So you just closed the store. That was ahead enough. Fine, okay, it's not worth it. Goodbye. You know, go away. So that was, sometimes that's the best thing, but can we do that? I don't know about you, I can't do that. It's not on a level to really sacrifice myself in such a situation. I went out and told the Jew to do stand better. Like, you know, how are you going to help him? I don't know how to help him.
He had made up his mind, though, or separate with this guy who was going to do.
That's right. Take care. Yeah, okay. And a story like that with Reb Berland also, he went into kibbutz, some left-wing kibbutz, and started really helping a few people there. And they didn't want him around. He said, these kids are good kids. You know, they're doing tshuva. I mean, who wants to do tshuva? Like, that's not the agenda of this Shom HaTzer kibbutz. Tshuva is just not exactly our goal. On the contrary, we serve bacon. We do everything possible so that the boys and girls should not have to do with Judaism. This strange wingnut comes in and starts to, wait, well, you're Jewish, what does that mean? And they're like, we don't really care, we don't want you around. So they told them, we don't really want you around, you're not to come back here, and like, if you come back there, you're going to get beaten. He said, you may as well beat me up now, because I'm going to be back here, there's no way. So they beat him up. And he's on the floor after getting a nice thrashing, and he like helps him, pulls himself up, and he pulls out a large sum of money, and he gives it to the landlord. He says, tomorrow I'll be back, and if you give me again, I'll pay you again. This is such a atonement, such a great thing. So they're like, okay, forget it. What, are you going to kill a guy? Again, you can't, like, that's it. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't lock the kibbutz. What, are you going to shoot him? You can't, there's nothing, that's it. Just put him in the hospital, like, what are you there? We did it, that's it. That's not working. It's not working. But again, you have to be willing to do anything. That's not a regular person willing to do anything. Regular people, we have to be careful how to rebuke it. There should be in a way that's going to shine in the person. And it's not that impossible. It's not so outrageously outlandish to think about how could I possibly do this, it'll be upsetting. Because what we need to do, what works for me at least, is I try to do as well as this, and I also, if possible, I try to open up a sefer that talks about all the levels of not embarrassing a fellow Jew. Like, it's like really serious, you're very careful. If you learn the levels, you get really sober. No, it's not simple, it's a big deal here. This is not a joke.
Which sefer should we use?
It really depends on
And is there anything in English?
That's the question. That's what I mean. I understand if I give you, wasn't going to help you, probably. Maybe. If they have, I think they do actually have. They have the laws of money from the Shulchan Aruch Rav. So in there he has, that's one of the books I like to use. Either Shulchan Aruch Rav or the Pesachoshin or the other Sfarim on Chodesh Mishpat. Because it's like in the laws of money, it's like really in Shulchan Aruch, it's very serious stuff. It's not like you killed him, basically. I mean, there was once a Mashkiach, I mean, he looked like white, his face, he so trembled. So one of his students said, "Are you okay, Rabbi? What happened?" He said, "How would you feel if you just saw somebody murder his friend in cold blood?" I mean, he said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, this person came and murdered somebody else right in front of everyone. I can't. I mean, how could you do that? You killed him. Like, if you figure that out, really, you'll get it right. You'll find a way to get it right. Because it's like you start to realize this is like serious business. This is not a joke. This is very serious. How do I do this in a way it's going to be good? That works for me if I have Yishuv Das to do it." So they do have the book there. I can show you where it is. Shulchan Aruch Rav, in Dinei Mamonos and Money Laws. I think it's translated, maybe all of it, I believe. It's a couple of volumes. It's not that much. He brings the most usual stuff that comes up. And that's a pretty good source to use. That's one thing I use, or other ones. That's very, when you read that, you'll see a really, you'll be very careful. It's like, oh, you know, you killed him.
Maybe we should cover that sometime.
Could be. Could be, we will. It'll come up also in, maybe, I don't know if the Beishchai has it. I'm not sure. In the end? He has some money laws in the end. I don't know if he talks about this particular point in the state, but I don't know. Maybe in the Yom Kippur. Possibly. I don't remember. Actually, yeah, but the Indian is, it could be, we could do something. We'll see how we do it. It's anyway very, very important things to know. It's right. There's a lot of halachic questions that come up there. It's something like maybe we'll be Zohar. We'll see. We'll see what happens. So, anyway, so that's the first thing. In terms of speech, I want to have a speech that's going to be helpful and work and going to help somebody. Not a speech that's going to degrade them, and not a speech that's going to make them feel bad. I want a speech that's going to pick someone up. Because he's a Talmud Kim. He doesn't know better, it's true, but he's a Talmud Kim. He's a very, very high place. You know, I have the ability to actually just to murder him in cold blood. I can do something now that will hurt this person for 20, 30 years, no problem, easy. Just say something stupid, something bad, make you feel bad, and if they're especially sensitive, maybe I'm just like giving them a load that they can't get rid of so easily. And that's a serious, serious problem. That's not an easy problem to deal with. It doesn't just go away because you don't want it to be that way. It's very hard to fix that. How do I fix that? I need help. So that's one important thing. I brought the safer because, again, we're talking about the rules of speech here. So you can, what can you? The first thing is to remember on Shabbos at the very least, and we'll see this a little later also, but like bottom line is do not rebuke someone or hurt someone with your mouth. Be very careful. Be careful to be gentle and to be good. That's like a big, big, big lesson. And then, you know,
it's... You didn't rebuke anyone.
No, I didn't say that. Rebuke, though, at the very least, ask God, help me rebuke this person right so that I pick them up and I don't make it worse. I don't want to make them feel rebellious or angry or disgruntled. Like, that's not going to help anybody. I want to fix the problem.
Can you?
I'll give you an example. Just the other week, I was speaking with somebody. I'm sorry, I'll cut you off. I was speaking with somebody, and this person said, "Yeah, I don't eat the third meal on Shabbos." Now, he knows better. He does. He doesn't remember, maybe so, but like, he knows, you know, he's supposed to eat the third meal. So I waited and spoke. I said, "Look, by the way, you should know if you have one piece of bread, it's like enough. One biggest piece of bread is enough for you to give a meal for everyone." And the Mechachayim says, "If you don't, you're missing out on serious things." We spoke about the greatness of the third meal. You know, how much do I need? You know, all right, so I'll do it. You're hungry, and you know, it becomes something different when you do it that way. Just like presenting, not above the person. The minute I even act incidentally become sanctimonious or above the person, I am not doing any mitzvah. I'm doing lashon hara because I can't feel any toelis. That's the Chazon Ish says toelis. You're not allowed to talk to someone in a degrading way when I have a toelis, when I get a benefit. That also means that I feel a little above him. If I'm above him, I'm not doing my mitzvah, I'm doing lashon hara. Maybe I will succeed in pulling him away, but I didn't do the job. There was a ma'aser with the Chofetz Chaim, Chazon Ish attended the first Agudas Yisrael convention. And he said he told over something from the Chazon Ish. This is a longer thing from the Chaim Brisker. I'll say the shorter thing, which is relevant to us. which is that someone sort of speaking about against a certain Jewish, we say Aski, but he's working a public person, working to help him with the cloud, and he was really, really, really messing up. Big, big. And the person told all these truthful things that, what do we do about it? It's crazy. Look, he's doing this, he's doing that. It's terrible, it's horrible. So when he finished speaking, the Chaim Brisker stood up and he said, it's prohibited to remain in this place because people speak Lashon Hara here, calmly and angrily, and he walked out. So Chazir said, I'm telling you, every word the man said was true and needed to be brought to people's attention so they should fix it. So what Lashon Hara? He said, because instead of saying, oh, Nebuch, so-and-so doesn't understand, he's making music, how could you do this? If you're above, I don't care if you're a rabbi, huh? He was trying to help people and really making serious errors. Okay. And maybe because he was arrogant, maybe because of his many character defects, most likely. But it doesn't matter. I still can put myself above him. I have to bring it up. I have to say, Nebuch, the poor guy. This person is making a mistake. He's like a blind person. He doesn't realize it has to be in a way that's compassionate to him, not above him. And it's very hard to do. Rebuke, it's dinim. That's why if you're focused, like the Ramchal says, try to focus on the fact that it's not the person. His essence is good, he just doesn't realize what he's doing, that's easier. That makes things a little easier. That's the Rebbe says, you take the anger, you change it to compassion. So, yeah, it's not him, it's not what he wants. Rav Nassim says,
what if a non-Jew doing something, and he was, can you say that a non-Jew is trying to do something good, and he's messing up, can you say Lashon Hara about that person?
It's better not to. Because it's no good for you. I don't know about the halacha. I don't remember the halachas exactly, but it's still better not to. Either way, it's not good for me or you. It's not good for us. Does it do the same thing? I mean, if you say Lashon Hara, it sort of holds your feelings back. It does a lot of great, great, fun things. We prefer not to experience. But does it do that when you do it with a non-Jew? I don't know. I don't remember. But it doesn't matter because I don't want to. I'm messing myself up. I'm getting used to it also. I'm messing myself up. I'm doing something which is not a good idea. That's for
sure. You're putting bad stuff on
me. Yeah. What are you doing? For yourself, for myself. Yeah, for sure. It's not so simple.
If one person talks bad about another person, it happens. The person has to forgive the person that did it.
Depends. No, that's not true. Depends. Yeah, we'll see. You have some kippur maybe here. Mr. Gua certainly brings up that if someone defamed me and made me damage, I do not have to forgive him. No, I don't have to. I should forgive him. I'm smart enough to forgive him. Because they can judge me like I judge him. So what's the point? It's like I'm just judging myself. But to say I have to is not true. I do not have to. I should. It's clean mixes. It's proper. It's pious. But here, if you damage me, what do you mean to do? You defamed me. Why do I have to just let go of that?
He's
not smart. Again.
Can you
share everything comes from Hashem so that the person talked about that person because of something that guy did?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. But some people twist it around and say, and it comes from Hashem that I don't forgive him. Again, I'm not saying you shouldn't forgive him because it's really stupid not to forgive him. You're judging yourself.
Can you shush someone?
It depends how you do it. If you're pained and it's not. Person doesn't feel bad, yes. Sometimes there's no choice. In other words, sometimes the person is actively engaged. What are you supposed to do?
You see
someone hot wiring your friend's car. You know he's stealing it. You're not allowed to yell. It's like it's a toilet. You're trying to fix on the spot. You're messing up my experience. I'm not rebuking you. I want quiet. I'm not doing the mitzvah rebuke. I just want quiet now. Could be. It has to do it. It shouldn't be degrading necessarily.
No, it's like when they're laying in the Torah and someone's talking right next to you and you're trying to hear it.
Could be. Again, it's very often it's better if you could just ask please not to sometimes. But sometimes not. It often it's a better way. But it's hard to know. With me, it's easier for me with in terms of speaking. I had a lot of times when I spoke when it was appropriate. Some, you know, if I have 10 things like myself, the minute I realize I have the same problem, it gets a lot easier. Because I start to realize that I'm judging myself. Like the Rebbe says, then you're, so you're accepting, huh? Well, you do the same thing sometimes. In this circumstance, in that circumstance, I feel the rest. But if I really speak, should I? Shouldn't I?
You said an interesting thing, like the person judging himself. That's why a person would say, okay, how am I lined up in Torah? Am I lined up with Jewish people? Am I lined up with Hashem? Once they establish that they're in the correct spot, and then see where the other guy's coming from, they can determine if that guy's going in the direction, the appropriate direction or not.
But you're just looking at a mirror. He's you in a certain way. That's why you see the negative. If I see negative in someone, I don't see right away, Oy vey, the keeper sat, this poor person, he doesn't know what he's doing, he's a terrible king, so holy and pure. And again, I wish I was on this level. I'm not going to pretend. Everything I see is this. I have teachers who are. I'm working on them trying. But any extra year, that's what you see, so then great. But if you see your fellow human being acting like a jerk, ruining the world, okay, so then you're seeing you, not me. I'm seeing me. And I have to cop and say, okay, what did I do to make me see this person in this light and not see what's really going on, which is that he's got these husks messing him up. So he's a pure neshama. He's being taken captive. He doesn't even know. So he's supposed to release these sparks. He doesn't realize he doesn't see. So why don't I see that? Well, I don't see that because this is my problem too. You start to realize, you say, oh, he's yelling, oh, he's not, and it's like, oh, you know, sometimes I yell too. How come? What? How come that doesn't bother me? Because I don't feel the same need right now to yell. But that doesn't mean that I don't yell. It doesn't mean that I'm pure from this problem. So if I'm not pure from this problem, how can I rebuke you? Like, before I rebuke him, I have to chew before what I see and say, well, you know, I really, first of all, I'm doing that. And then, well, it's a clip. But then it starts to be, oh, no, it's a clip, it's not me. So why is he different than me? But I have to get to it. It's like, this is a very, very not easy. So again, at the very bottom line, the very least, what do I do? At least ask Hashem, please help me. I know rebuke is like a very dangerous thing. I don't think I have a choice. Show me what do I do and how do I do it. That's the minimum. It's absolutely must. I think if Rebbe has a tefillah, certainly a Rebbe would say, before you rebuke someone, you have to bow to Hashem. You have to ask Hashem. That's Pasha. It's probably, that's obvious. You must ask, you must beg Hashem. Please, help me. Show me what to do, what not to do, how to do it. I don't know. I want to do things that are going to help someone. I don't want to hurt someone. Rest of they were very nice to almost never got involved with people. Very, very carefully. Very carefully.
So, when I was raising my kids, I would yell at them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they were bad at the table, or uh-huh. this, or that. So, like, that's a normal thing. Parents do that.
Yeah.
Children, but you're saying that the ideal thing is not to yell.
Usually, the people who managed not to yell did a lot better. That's what I found. The more the yelling doesn't penetrate. That's usually again. So sometimes there's no choice. Yeah, you're right. Again, so what should you do? Let the kid jump through the glass. He has a wagon with his brother, and they're running around. He broke one glass. Now he's running. Another yell at him. Another thing. Wait, I just sit there. Oh, great. Go break the whole house down. So it's not helping the kid. I'm just trying to save my property. It could be, you know, and it's not always easy. So it's very vexing. Kids can be very vexing. Like, oh, what are you doing? It can be hard. But the ideal is not to feel that inside, not to feel the yelling and the anger. But you're right. I can't tell you.
Not even the feeling.
It's possible. That's ideal. And then if you have to yell, you yell. But it's not where you are. But Rav Zonnefeld did say when it's appropriate anger, sometimes a kid needs to be yelled at. Sometimes we know that a kid can yell at him, he'll get it. He doesn't get it, and then he gets it. So all the explanation, and that's just his nature. This kid's nature. You have to like have it worked out. Not just I'm not like his manager, but like this kid, he needs to be yelled at. So he yell. That's all. Nothing I can do about it. So I yell. Depends on the child. Depends. It really depends. But like again, minimum is this first thing, and then the second thing is to realize when I see somebody do something wrong, the Baal Shem Tov says you are looking in a mirror. It's really Tosefta. We learn it from the Tosefta, and it's from Chazal, and then Tziv brings it, and he says, you know, it's not only Chassidus, it's everyone. Which is that when you see something that's not appropriate with someone else, I'm looking at myself. When I see this guy, oh, look at him, he's this way, it's me, my problem, not him. Then there's also him problems. How can I help him? That's the question. But that's the real, when I really ask how can I help him, I'm going to find that usually the answer is not what I would originally have done. That's not necessarily going to be the way to do it.
At this point, when I sit down with my adult children, I tell them where my behavior came from, mm-hmm. I understand the origins of it, and I try to explain to them, you know, where it came from, why that happened, what they did to trigger it, just so they understand that it wasn't them, that it was really me, and I didn't mean to transmit what got transmitted.
I understand. You know, the truth is, sometimes it's the other way. Sometimes you needed that yelling. If we know, like, there's one family with the kids look mamish you're dating on Drew, and his mother's like devastated. She's very upset. What's going on with this guy? Like, she has no interest in Judaism. She just wants to be, whether she is secular, and he wants to be secular like he was raised. Conservative, whatever. And she's like, my father always said, yo, if you come home with me on Drew, lady, I'm going to sit shit on you. I don't know you ever. Like, yell this. I never knew you. But he caught them dating or something with him on Drew. So he said, forget. On Drew. She said, so later he apologized. He said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. But maybe that might have worked here. Like, I don't know. Like, here it's like,
yeah,
so big deal. You know, well, he felt bad. What about yelling at this girl? What does she know better? But that was when she was already married Jewish. Until then, he was like, you know, he was an angry kind of guy. You know, he's not religious at all. But that worked. But if it's not serious, and how do you deal with this? That worked. And there were certainly a lot of non-Jewish options, and everyone, at least they felt like, it's like, you know, under the table, and you know, hopefully married Jewish, just so he shouldn't, like, explode and go crazy. Forget about it. Maybe it's a Jevna. Forget about, you know, do I want, don't I want, do I know, don't I know. That's a different point. It's just not Prussian. It's not so easy working with these out. Chacha is not easy, not an easy thing to work out. To figure out what to do and how to kill kids are the hardest thing. Hardest thing is kids. Director of Chatzko, what I do, I'm such hard raising my children, so you know, it has to do with working on your character traits, but we really need to start like 20 years ago. Like, it's like a long, it's not, don't expect it in like overnight. Like, now you're going to get it. You get the right shita, and then, he said, no. It's like, it's your character problems that you need to work on. As he said, you should really start a lot earlier. You said, but now you're starting, but just realize it's a long journey. It's not a 5-minute course. 5-course, and you're done. That's not how it works. Yeah, so it's a whole long union. But the kitchen, we want to sanctify our speech and shabbos. That's what we want to do. We want to be careful, at least from forbidden speech and shabbos. Very least, I don't want to say, I don't want to give rebukes, I just want to vent Hashem, I just want to connect to Hashem. The Rebbe says Lashon Hara in general, he says Lashon Hara holds a person back from being able to take in the Torah. Why? Because every Jewish soul is another letter or space between letters. In the Torah, there are 600,000 letters in space between the letters. So everyone, the spaces are actually higher than letters, interestingly enough. So everyone is either a letter or a space between letters. So the minute you are looking at a Jewish person in a denigrating way, you speak against him. So what happens is that, I can't get a little part of Torah. It's lacking to me. Instead of shining, his letter or his face is lacking. And it gets harder to get into Torah. Mm-hmm. So Lashon Hara is like, that is not for Shabbos. Even in the week, but Shabbos, like, come on, it's Shabbos. We have to be careful how we're rebuking. At least try to live in the next world with the real reality on Shabbos. So he says, if a person needs his friend, I need my friend. Yeah, I need my friend. Or a non-Jewish friend to hire them after Shabbos for some kind of thing that needs to be done. You can't say on him Shabbos, you know, he's a carpenter, right? To say, hi, John, could you come to my house after Shabbos? You mean bring your saw and hammer and stuff and get to work. Because that's the only time John comes to your house. Or Yaakov, the carpenter, it's the same difference. Come to my house. When does he come to your house? You see him in shul. He comes to your house when he has work to do in your house. So he shows up. You really didn't say explicitly, since it's clear, you're not allowed to do that. It's as if you said clearly to him, you want to hire him. And you're telling him, come. But you don't tell him to come. Don't tell him, please, I need you to come. He said, do you think you might be able to drop by me in the night? It's not a commanding him. It's an ordering is a difference here. Ordering him, so that's, you know, it's more of a recognizable thing. That's okay. Even though he understands himself, did you do malacha? He said, that's alright. Because it's not of the same caliber as ordering him as if he's your worker. Okay. So Chaim has a whole approach here, actually. He said, "Have nochon le'erev." When you say, be ready to come to my house in the night, something to this effect, that's more like a clear, it's obvious that you're making a dibur. When you think you might be able to make it, that's much more passive, and that already, you might make it, you might not make it. It doesn't, it's not the same, it's not the same calendar. So that our sages did not prohibit. That's, first of all, that's, so China has a home house here. Remember it. It's a whole. Here it is. Yeah. Well, okay. Brings the parasha. Brings the parasha also to one. It says, Eila Dvorim. These are the words. Moshe Rabbeinu says, comes up a few times. These are the things that Hashem, the words that Hashem said to do. Right. Said, one of the big errors they made when they made the ego was they said, Eilo Lekecha Yisrael. This is your God. Those words were very not, very negative, very, very bad words. So to that, this is your God. These are your God. Israel. That's what they said. No one protested. Talking about the golden calf, not good words. He said, we need to fix this problem. He said, we need to do things to fix bad words. That's why on Shabbos, if you have an Hashem Yisera, he said, when you make a mistake, when you err, when you make a mistake and you talk on Shabbos, your Hashem Yisera, it gets harder to hold on to. You're in the weekday, how is Shabbos? So that's why you have to fix the negative.
What becomes hard to hold on to?
The extra Hashem. So it gets difficult to hold on to it. That's first of all. So now, in terms of there's like a tremendous. It's good. Gimel is the. This is the next one. Yeah. So that's the first thing. I want to hold on to Hashem and say, if I speak these words, you're not. I have to be connected. As for Shabbos, speaking these words, I have to fix the Eilat Zav. I have to fix the falls of Adam and Chava. And the only way to do that is to be, watch my speech. That was one of the big mistakes with speech. Words.
Is it time to see the Shabbos?
Huh? Because he said Shabbos fixes the ego. Shabbos fixes because what happened was that he says the Torah was given on Shabbos. He says Shabbos, that's the time when we're able to try to fix the fallacies of the ego. The ego threw us back down to where we were. We fixed it already. We got the Torah. We fixed the problem of Adam and Chava. And then we fell with the ego. We didn't resist the ego. So then we fell back down. That's the system. Shabbos fixes that. So be especially careful with especially not speak bad thoughts, bad speech. But that's what the Kor Chaim, that's one thing he says.
Is it the Levites already don't have that on them?
No, they didn't resist. It's not true. The Levites fixed somewhat, but they didn't stop them when the time came. When Moshe said, who's to God? They came. And that made them Levim. But when they were doing the egel, they didn't stop them. There weren't that many of them. Maybe according to one account, there was that many of them. Whatever it was, they should have tried to stop them. It's easy to understand that according to the Mahalach, there were a lot of behavior around. Whichever way you look at it, though, however you want to look at it, they had to stop them. They couldn't allow this to take place, and they didn't. Didn't realize. They just heard from Hashem, "You shall not have a clue to have." Like, what happened? 40 days later, your emotion, you see a Levi, you don't see a Levi, and you're like, who cares? Who cares what you see? God said no, it was no, finished. They didn't have that moral clarity to be able to resist. Even if they didn't get involved in it, they just didn't stop it. They weren't sure enough not to stop it. That was bad enough, and they fell right back down. Okay. So a person is allowed to say, so the person let us say to his friend, I'm going to Bnei Brak.
I'm going to
Bnei Brak.
To
Bnei Brak.
Bnei Brak?
Yeah. Even though it's
very simple.
Yeah, Bnei Brak. You could say, let's go to Bnei Brak tomorrow. Why? You're not allowed to walk to Bnei Brak, so isn't that a prohibition of Shabbos? I mean, you didn't say, you're not allowed to say, let's travel to Bnei Brak. That means a car. You're not allowed to get in a car to Shabbos. But to say, let's go to Bnei Brak, maybe I need to walk. Because this theoretically could be fixed. You could put like a booth every once in a while, make sure that it's in the tchum, and you would be allowed to walk it. Since it's possible to do on Shabbos, it's not recommended, but it is possible that you're allowed to talk about it. But to say, let's go to Swahili, that's not okay. Because there's no way to go to Swahili without flying. You're doing something you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. That's what we say to Maisa.
Is it okay to say, wow, I want to go to Bnei Brak and study Torah?
Could be, because of mitzvah. Again, that's what we saw before. Some people say if it's not helping the mitzvah, no. The Ben Ishchai himself, we didn't do it then. The Ben Ishchai himself says, if it's helping you, you can. Himself, he says that. But Rav Isaac is very open, it's anyway helping you to do it. The Ben Ishchai says, like a nether here, pushing you to do it, so it's okay. You have to figure out if there's any need to say it. If there's not, it's machlok, it's better to be restrained to be said.
And then, like, during the week, when we say the Shema Esrei, and we're praying for the person praying for the needs on the Shabbos, the Shema Esrei differs in their own people's meal needs. Is that true?
Again? During the week, what?
During the week, the person Shema Esrei is praying for their individual needs in the community, obviously, as well. On the Shabbos, the Shema Esrei is different. We're praying for the needs of the community.
Oi! You know what the Shabbos Master is about. You'll see it's your individual needs. It's also community, it's the same thing. It's more physical needs also.
No.
That we find out. But first of all, the regular Master theoretically can be recited on Shabbos. The sages did not give us that task. They didn't want Matriach to also Shabbos. They couldn't even recite it. It is relevant to Shabbos, except for. Second of all of the Shemesteries and the Shabbos take you to a certain place. You go somewhere. You're going somewhere. When you say, Yismach Moshe Lam Tzolto, you're getting a gift from Hashem. When you say, Atik Yidash, you're getting sanctity. You're narrowing yourself to Hashem. You're bringing Hashem into your life in a very special, deep way. Us as a community and Hashem, of each other as well. So then it's like, no, definitely not. And also the Shemesteries is not so much about my personal needs. It's more realizing that these needs come from God and changing myself. And that I'm more worthy to get. That's a simple. I'm going to show him. That's what the Rishonim explained. I want to know that how will I have wisdom from Hashem? That's why in Kel, there was a certain person, he's very upset. The altar of Kel. When he saw this person, he was davening a profound Shema Esrei. He said, Yerushalayim Yerichol, he started saying he was talking about building Jerusalem and all the things that have to do with the general, the community, not so much individual. At least you might not understand it on a simple level. And, you know, he said he was crying. And earlier stuff, he just said it quickly. So I told Adam Kelm, he said, I don't believe this person really carefully calculated what's proper. He thinks that understanding, he can handle it himself. Tshuva, I can do on my own. Parnassah, I'm okay with Parnassah. I'm healthy. So I don't need to dive in like such profound feelings there. I only need to dive on a really tearful prayer with things that are out of my hands. Yeah, I can't rebuild Jerusalem. I can't bring Mashiach. That's God. He said he's wrong. All the other things are also in Hashem's hands, not in his hands. If you realize that, he would daven also the same Tefillah. So on the one hand, it's very good to focus on any part of the prayer, anything you can say, great, amazing. Like in Master Sura, I said, listen, so you daven quickly, so you shouldn't have an external thought, extraneous thought. I'm daven fast, then your whole prayer will have one extraneous thought. This way, at least, maybe in the between the extraneous thoughts, you'll have a little kavanah. Otherwise, your whole prayer will be one quick run, you know, like, that's not going to help you, like, that's not going to do anything, you have to, so it's not so simple, though. Shmoneh Esrei is a very long, beautiful, special, don't mean with it. Maybe we'll see the time comes, God willing. It's unbelievable. When you learn about it, it's like, wow. It's very special. Yes, very special. It's not surprising that...
It's interesting, right? Extremely slow. It could be, right? It could be davening, and it's...
Got to make the train.
You know, and it's been... Got to
make the train.
The next.
Make the train, yep. Make the train. That's not connecting. That's just, you know, you say your prayers. It's good to pray a prayer, but that's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be something totally different. So we said, we saw the Shoshana Vodas, and it's totally a connection. You connect to the planet. Save our sins. If you have a mess without one bad thought, you're for sure making it to the next world. You're Ilum Haba. You're like, you made it. It's unbelievable, this level. You couldn't budget. It depends, yeah. There are nothing says explicitly though, it depends on who you are. He says usually in a rush because I'll do it right, because usually you're not gonna do any better with fast, but it depends on your nature. He says very clearly. Playing slow, you're preparing, you're this, you're that, to find yourself. He says some people do better when they fly through the dummy. Depends on the person. How connected I am, how focused I am. It all depends. So I can tell you, let's go to Bnei Brak. Even though there is no way of going now, we could fix it so it's okay. Lose is the way to do it in a permitted manner. But you can't say, let's take a cab. Do you have the money to get us? Like the minute it gets to be renting or doing things, not on a Shabbos, it's the same problem. Let's drive there, it's not okay. Also, you can't say, I'll bring looks of things. You can't wait at the end of the tchum. I'm waiting, I'm gonna get my proof. If it's obvious you're doing something, you want to do something that's proven on Shabbos, you're not allowed to wait at the very end of where you're allowed to stay on Shabbos. That's not okay. Plus the Shabbos says if the fruit is not muktzah, he said, you're allowed, that's okay. It's not muktzah, that's okay. Oi. Tell a person, bring them to you tomorrow. They're far away, but there's nothing prohibited intrinsically from bringing them. You're not allowed to be in the tefillah. So you can talk about it on Shabbos. I say to do bring fruit. I didn't say anything more particular. Yes, there's another few things to come here. He says that this is, Tochaim says this is alluding. It's alluding to proper rebuke. sometimes the best way to give proper rebuke is to give a person an understanding that, can you come with me to the city tomorrow? He said, that means we're out of here. We're not staying here. We're only here for a little bit. We're out of here. So, what are we doing? Let's be careful how we act. So we're out of here. We're not here forever. That's one way he explains. He said, so you have to be careful. It should be somewhere that you can get to with these booths. This is very, very powerful, as usual. He says, the aspect of the booths means you're going to be able to do tshuva incrementally, and it's not going to be too much pressure on you, and you're not going to feel depressed and down on Shabbos. You're not going to cause depression and downness for the person on Shabbos. You're just going to pick him up. He said, let's say he did he messed up in a positive commandment, he did a little something wrong, through the tone in a way that's going to pick him up, and not going to drag him down. So that's the aspect of the booths. He's able to do it a little at a time, he's going to appreciate every little thing he does. It's not going to be too much for him, it's going to be devastating. Shabbos devastating, it's not helping him anyway. Sometimes a person just has to turn his eye away. Sometimes it doesn't help to catch someone in something bad. It doesn't do any good. Someone once asked me, I don't know if I spoke about this ever, someone once asked me about their child who was a teenager. And on the internet, it was the beginning of Israel internet, I think. And I had no good internet in the house. And the child was learning in a yeshiva, whatever, and his mother checked his history, and it was really bad. He was in a very bad place. She's like, what do I do? Yeah, I want to rebuke him. It's very shaming. The kid's supposed to be, you know, chassidic. He's enjoying his things. He's learning, whatever. But, I mean, he's, like, in very bad places. He's not in good places. He's in, like, you know, the worst is hard to say, but, like, there's a lot of the worst there. Like, of the very bad, very, very bad things. What do I do? I said, don't do anything. Just change the password. Don't tell him what it is.
Just
change the password. Don't tell him what it is. Don't tell him anything. Don't say anything. Don't bother him. Leave him alone. He's got enough issues on his plate. It's not smart. He's getting him involved. He's going to feel bad about himself. It's going to make him better able to mess up. And in the end, he just straightened out. He was fine. Did very well. He's good.
The password
on the computer. Just don't let him in. Make a password if there is. If you lose the password, change the password. And he's not holding, obviously, and it's too much for me to sign. But why shouldn't you give him the benefit of the doubt? Talking to him about it is not going to move the kid, also. I don't think it's going to help him. I think he's just going to drag him down. So don't say anything. Just leave him alone. And that was that helped. I mean, he's very happy, well adjusted, doing a lot of good things. You know, it's like, sometimes you have to know when to rebuke, how to rebuke. It's not going to be loud. It's like one little player, another, he feels like he's out of bounds, he doesn't know what to do with himself. Ah, he feels so terrible now. So what have you done? What have you achieved? You're trying to build something. You have to be careful that what you're doing is to build and not destroy. The Rebbe said any thug can destroy. You need to be wise to build. Destroy is no problem. Easy. Build is the question. How do you build? What do you do to build? Oh, that's a little bit about Brogan, and he goes on and on with his usual every single prat, but I think that's good for now, these two things. So we can continue maybe a little bit more. Okay, so even just talking about things that are not relevant on Shabbos, are just stuff that I have no relevance, nothing real there. That is also constitutes, it's not proper on Shabbos. No malach. It's not great. Now, that's what he's about to say now. Some people will say, what do you mean? I'm supposed to enjoy Shabbos, right? Well, if I don't talk about the meds, I mean, I'm not going to enjoy Shabbos. This reminds me of the Chabad Chaim. Chabad Chaim one time he was in some inn somewhere. He used to wear a very simple cap. Someone told Yashu, he said, can I wear a hat like this? So before he spoke with him about is it proper or not, he said, you think that's bad? You should have seen the hat the whole time wore. I saw him as a boy. Boy, his hat was like over the pale. Like it was like totally like, he looked like some like regular guy. Can't afford a hat in however long. And he really didn't have the money for a hat. So the innkeeper saw this guy. He's like selling books. He didn't know they're his books. He wrote the book. He's like, all right, so you can be with the horse. They were like a bunch of wagoneers, you know, Balagola, you know. You can stay with them for Shabbos. The whole Shabbos, these guys are discussing what? Horses. Horses and horses and more about horses and more about horses. That was the whole Shabbos. Probably it wasn't forbidden speech, but nice about horses. This, I did this, I did that, do that. Not enough gemina for Malacha. He's not charging anyone for now. He made this, he did this. Just interesting stuff. So after Shabbos, somebody came in and he came out, but he wrote that book, and he was a very prominent rabbi. Well-known rabbi. He heard of him. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I play with the wagon drivers. Like, he said, no, it's great. No forbidden speech the whole Shabbos. They spoke with horses. That's fine. It's not a prohibited. They enjoy speaking to horses. That's okay. He said, no forbidden speech. No, Shinhara, you can speak anything you want about a horse. No problem. No human beings involved. He said, horse, great. He was very happy. So, you know, on the one hand, that's your enjoyment. That's your Shabbos. You don't have to constrain yourself in a way on Shabbos that's like, okay, it would be nice if I was more spiritual, but that's not who I am right now. So what's the point of pretending and like being miserable? The additional one, he said, you know, there are a lot of complicated halachos on Shabbos. Maybe the best thing is to tie yourself to a chair the whole time, because that way you won't do any malach. He said, but that's the worst violation of the principles of Shabbos possible. He said, you have to enjoy Shabbos. Shabbos is only. You can't tie yourself to a chair so you don't do any malach. See, that's not okay. So you have to work out. So if you enjoy it, so then it's a different story. So that's okay. But he said, it's better not to speak too much about this. He said, someone who thinks that people say about speaking about Malach on Shabbos, people say if you speak about Malach on Shabbos, it won't happen. The Ben Yishchai says, if you even think about Malach on Shabbos, it won't be blessed. So if you thought about it on Shabbos, like the Pelio, it says. Yep. It's not proper. And maybe he'll come out to speak improper things. Oh, it's some harsh things too. The Rav Avadya brings the Zohar Kodesh says that speaking improperly, when you are able to do more, of course it doesn't mean a person who's not there yet. So in a way it's like violating the greatness of Shabbos. It's like something's missing there. There's a disconnect there. So the Chemsi Yomim makes this basic point. So the sages say you should act like Talmid Chacham. It's proper to try and limit unnecessary speech on Shabbos if you can. Now, to be honest, sometimes if your kavanah is to help somebody, if you say, well, what do you mean? I want to help this person or help that person, that's a very important speech. Rabbi Nachman in general said, it's very important to speak with people. So, anytime. Anytime. Speak with people in a Avodas Hashem. In Avodas Hashem. He said, and you also need to speak to people about mundane matters just to keep your head straight. He said, if you're only focused on spiritual matters, he said, it's too much. That's why it says in Avos, the Vilna Gaon says the same thing. One of the ways the Torah is acquired is through a little bit of speech. He says, you need to speak a little. You can't not speak at the Rebbe said you need to even speak about Monday and Shabbos is better not to. You have to be careful. You're not supposed to blow up and burst. You have to find out where you are and be able to act appropriately. He said, but it's better as much as possible to limit if you can, unless it's for a good purpose. He said, it can also, these sort of words, they can get to ribbon speech, Lashon Hara, falsehood, mockery, all sorts of like stuff you'd rather avoid.
Why don't people talk about this situation?
If you talk about the miracles, it's great. That's why it's not that hard to. The Chofetz Chaim says no big kunz. It's not a big kachma. Say, oh, I'll never speak. Because you're supposed to speak, but speak properly. Don't not speak. It's not hard. It's not real. Real is speaking, but speaking the way that we're supposed to speak. So that's okay.
So you can even speak about the Torah.
Uh-huh.
Or about miracles?
What about miracles?
Or about the weather?
Again, wherever you're holding, you have to know that sometimes if you're speaking, you can really like you said. No, you can speak in them for sure. But if you something like you said I think last week, sometimes you say a word or two to someone, you save his or her life. Your mama just gave him so much, and like it's just a few words.
It's hard.
How hard is it? Sometimes you know. So it's not always possible to do that if you're not part of things. You can't just like show up and like here's the light. It doesn't work that way. That's not how humans work. That's not how Hashem made us. So sometimes you need to be part of things. It shouldn't be. It's like the Alter Kelmi says, you shouldn't like stand out in a way that's this way or that way. It should be like you're part of things. But he also says, I want to be more than Mavrius. I want to be part of like you in life. I'm not supposed to be separated. Might be easier, but that's not the goal. In general, a person is supposed to be learning as much as he possibly can. So Shabbos, at least let him learn. See, some people were careful not to speak only Hebrew, Chaim Vital, you teach, you'd say only Hebrew. So that's for sure going to sanctify you if you speak only Hebrew. He said, but people think that you can speak in Hebrew, verbatimly, that's not okay. He said, the Hebrew is even worse to speak to them. It's a holy speech. That's how he explains. So try to sanctify one's mouth as much as you possibly can. That's what the Chavos Yom is about. I think that's today.